about this business with having a pastor, getting a pastor. Mm-hmm. You know, I learned a long time ago that a need is not the same as a call. Because there's needs everywhere. And so I realize that you folks have a need here. And if the Lord sees fit to call us here, then so be it. You already know my heart about that as far as obeying the Lord. Mm-hmm. And the biggest challenge for obeying the Lord is getting yourself out of the way. Yeah. And so, yeah, be praying about this whole business. And we'll see what the Lord does. Well, open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 11. Title of the message here is Battlefield Lessons from Joshua. Battlefield Lessons from Joshua. I like old Lester Roloff. He used to sing a song about how this was a battlefield, not a recreation room. Amen. Being a Christian. And so we need to get more soldiers in the trenches. Amen. And we got too many defections in our ranks. Yep. So, especially among the young folks, we're talking about that downstairs. Yep. You know, the devil knows where to attack. Oh, yeah. And he knows how to destroy the churches, and all you got to do is destroy the families, and that'll take care of itself. And so we're in a mess, so you be praying for our country as well. Be praying. You know, I talked to a fella here a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about the way things are. And I said, listen, brother, I said, the main thing at this point, you know, we're getting so close to as it was in the days of Noah. I said, the main thing, you better make sure your family's on the ark. You better make sure that they're in the boat. Yep. And we're not called to save the world, but we are called to witness and tell others about the good news, and hopefully the Lord will save a few out of the world here and there. Amen. So, all right, let's pray, and then we'll look here at Joshua chapter 11. Father, again, we come before you, and we're come before you with humble hearts and thanksgiving. Lord, all the great food that you supplied there for lunch, and the talent that you gave these ladies to prepare it. And Lord, you're so good to us. We don't know what to do. There's folks all over this world that don't have anything to eat. And we've got so much of a bounty here. And Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to always remain thankful and never to take things for granted, which it's easy for this old flesh to do. Lord, again, I just pray that you'd have your will and your way in this time now, this preaching time. And I do pray again that you would get all the honor and the glory out of this time and use this time to glorify yourself through me. Help me to get out of the way. And I pray, Lord, again, that you'd just help everyone here to be able to acknowledge and understand, and that there be clarity in the message, and that you'd show us some wondrous things from your word here that we can use in our life coming up today, tomorrow, and the next day. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Joshua, chapter 11. Look down there, verse 15. We'll start there. It says there that as the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua. And so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. So Joshua took all that land, the hills, and all the south country, and all the land of Goshen, and the valley, and the plain, and the mountain of Israel, and the valley of the same, even from the Mount Halak that goeth up to Seir, even unto Baal-gad in the valley of Lebanon under Mount Hermon. And all their kings he took, and smote them, and slew them. Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. There was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel, save the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. All other they took in battle. For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts, that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might destroy them. destroy them utterly, and that they might have no favor, but that he might destroy them, as the Lord commanded Moses. And at that time came Joshua, and cut off the Anakims from the mountains, from Hebron, from Debir, from Anab, and from all the mountains of Judah, and from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. There was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel. Only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod did there remained. So Joshua took the whole land, according to all that the Lord said unto Moses. And Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel, according to their divisions by their tribes. And the land rested from war. All right, thank you. Now this is the message, like I said, is some lessons, some battlefield lessons from Joshua. And the first point that I want to make here is that you need to pair up with somebody if you're going to win. You know, if you're in a foxhole, if you're in a battle with somebody, the best thing to do is to have a buddy. You need a buddy. Why you say that? So that you can have somebody you can stand back to back and support each other and cover each other and be aware. You know, Paul said to walk circumspectly. Well, it's a lot easier if there's two of you. Amen. And you can each watch each other's back. The devil, the enemy always likes to attack from the rear if he can. He likes to get around behind you and sneak up on you. And so you need to pair up to win. And we know from the Bible, we know from human nature that like produces like. So you got to be careful who you pair up with. Amen. If you want to be a loser, pair yourself up with a loser. If you want to get into drugs, hang around with somebody who likes to do drugs. If you want to be a drunk, be an alcoholic, hang around with somebody who likes to drink. I mean, you name it, whatever the case may be. You want to be a soldier for the Lord and know that Bible better than anybody else? Hang around somebody who likes to serve the Lord and loves that book. You need to pair up, and you need to have a godly mentor and be a disciple. That's what Joshua was. Joshua picked a good one, didn't he? Wouldn't you like to have a Moses to teach you how to fight for the Lord and serve the Lord? Look over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You need to pair up. And you need to have someone that you can be accountable to, keep you accountable, somebody that you can, you know, what's the verse? Iron sharpeneth iron. Keep each other accountable in your prayer life and memorizing Scripture, whatever the case may be. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul said, "Be ye followers of me," even the very first verse there, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." So you want to, like I said before, you want to pair up with somebody who's a follower of Jesus Christ. You want to follow, and people say, well, you shouldn't follow a man. Everybody's following a man. Really? Amen. Everybody's following some man. Everyone has some man or some woman that they look up to, whether it's justified or not. Mm-hmm. Hopefully. See, you know, you don't want to have your children, you don't want to have your young folks looking up and having their hero be some fornicating, dope-headed professional athlete. That's not a good role model. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't. There might be one. If you look hard enough, you might find a good role model in sports somewhere. But you know what? You need to have your children should be looking at their father and saying, "My dad knows a Bible better than anybody. My dad, he knows the Scripture. He knows the verses. He knows how to answer questions. questions from the Bible, from the Bible. I have another fellow at work. You know, he's all upset because his kid comes home from school one day. I think his kid's like 12, 13 years old. He's all upset and bent out of shape because his kid comes home from school one day and the teachers are saying that it's okay for a man and a man to get married, or a woman and a woman to get married. You know, that's all, it's okay. And I said, well, brother, what are you telling him? I said, you gotta know that Bible well enough yourself so that you can sit your boy down and say, well, the teacher may say that, but she's wrong. Amen. This is the truth, and you need to take him to that Bible and says, this is what God says. It doesn't matter what some teacher says. And that's what you gotta be. You gotta be paired up. You gotta be paired up with somebody who can help you fight for the Lord. If you're gonna fight for the Lord, you better have a weapon. Right? Amen. You better know how to use it. Lest someone take it away from you and use it on you. You know, that's not a good thing. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, I'll tell you what, Paul would be a good one to hang around. 2 Timothy. Timothy had a good mentor. And 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look what he says. He tells Timothy here in chapter 1, verse 13. He says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Everybody's following somebody. And you better make sure that you're following somebody that's worthy of being followed. Look over in chapter 2, right here, next page in my Bible. Chapter 2 and verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. You got to pair up with somebody who knows the truth, knows how to handle the truth, and can teach you how to handle it. And you need to follow that person. You need to pair up with the right person to be able to win. And then lastly, one more here in the next chapter 3. He tells him to hold fast to the words. He says, commit them to faithful men so they can teach others also. And then in chapter 3, and verse 14, he says, continue. Here we are. Why did he say continue? Well, look at verse 13. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Is that where you live? That's where I live today. Did Paul write this last week? He could have. Isn't it amazing? Well, you know, the Bible's not relevant to today. Yeah, and you're stupid. If you don't think the Bible, I mean, how many books were written 2,000 years ago and are still relevant today? Amen. Name me one. There aren't any books left that were written 2,000. You couldn't even list one, right? Much less be relevant. And so Paul says there in verse 14, continue. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Very important that you pair up with the right person if you're going to fight and win for the Lord. All right, so that's lesson number one. Pair up with somebody that you can fight with. Everybody needs a buddy in the foxhole. And you better have a good one. You don't want somebody that's going to turn tail and run at the first sign of trouble. You want somebody that's going to hang in there with you and fight to the end. You know, those guys, there's not many of them left now, but those veterans, especially from like World War II and Korea, a lot of those guys, they still, to this day, they get together if they are able. They still have reunions. Why is that? You know, after all these years, they probably don't even see each other except maybe once a year when they get together for a reunion. because the bonds that are established in the midst of fighting and watching over each other and fighting with another man, those are the kind of bonds that last. Amen. And that's what holds a church together. Amen. When you have bonds, when you're in the fight, and you know, a lot of churches today, they've lost sight of who the enemy is. Stop fighting with each other and fight that old smutty face that's out there tearing up the world and the neighborhood all around you, and fight. You got to fight, and you got to pair up with somebody who's going to help you. And so that's lesson number one. Go back there now. I should have had you mark your place in Joshua 11. We're going to be going back and forth here a little bit. So Joshua chapter 11, where we read that passage. It says there in that he was paired up with Moses, and Moses commanded him and told him what to do. And you know what's really neat about that? There in verse 15 it says, "The Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua." And Joshua argued about it. Oh, no, that's not what it says. That must be that other version. It says, "And so did Joshua." Amen. Boy, wouldn't that be a turn? To actually have somebody do what they were told to do. That's revolutionary. You know, the Bible, I don't know what's wrong with God's people today. You can preach and teach and show them what the Bible says, and they just do what, well, that's how, you know, it's like in this ear and out the other. No effect. No effect. And so, man, Lord have mercy on us. Amen. Lord have mercy on us. The next thing that you see, look on down here a little ways. I got to get going here. Verse 16, it says, "So Joshua took all that land, the hills and all the south country and all the land of Goshen and the valley and the plain and the mountain of Israel and the valley of the same, even from Mount Halak that goeth up to Seir, even unto Baal-Gad." He covered a lot of territory. There's a lot of real estate that they're conquering there. And it gets down there in verse 18, it says, "Joshua made war a long time with all those kings." So that's the second point of the message, the second lesson that we learned from these battlefield lessons from Joshua. Number two is you better prepare for a long war. Amen. You better prepare for a long war. And your life as a Christian is a warfare. And many times the battlefield is right up here. For your mind. The devil, he likes to mess with your mind. He likes to mess with my mind. And the only way you can keep that thing tuned in to the right frequency is to stay in, keep your mind in the Word of God. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." You can have your mind full of that word and still sin. But boy, it'll sure help you. It'll sure help you. You know, I don't think you believe this. I've skimmed through your doctrinal statements of the church, and I don't think anybody here believes in sinless perfection. But you know what? If you're saved and you've been saved for any length of time, you're not going to be sinless, but you should sin less. You should sin less. And we were talking about that downstairs. And I guess Earl made, you know, comment about the fact that the world looks at most Christians and say, "What do I need Christianity for?" Yeah. They're just like me. They're no different than I am. Exactly. And shame on us if somebody can say that. So you need to prepare for a long war. It's not a sprint. It's an endurance. And I'm not saying that you're going to be fighting, you know, 24/7, 7 days a week. That's usually not how the war goes. It's a series of skirmishes. You know, you'll have a skirmish, and then there'll be a lull for a period of time, and then another skirmish comes along. That's the Christian life, folks. It's a skirmish after a skirmish and a battle after a battle. And you know what? You got to be ready because you don't know when it's coming. A lot of times you don't know it's coming until somebody, you hear a whistle and somebody says, "Incoming!" And then you better be ready. You better be ready to take action because you don't want to be caught unawares. Look at Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, look down here, verse 5. Romans 15, verse 5. "Now, the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus." All right? So, God is the only one. We are the only ones that get impatient. God never gets impatient. And so, a lot of the struggle for human flesh like we live in and we have to deal with is to be patient and wait on the Lord. That's part of the battle for your mind. That's part of preparing for a long war. It's not all about go, 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 fight, fight, fight. Sometimes it's sit still and listen. What's the Lord telling? What's the Lord saying? What's the Lord want you to do? Look over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Battlefield. These are lessons for the battlefield that we can glean from Joshua. Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse 1. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." How in the world do you run with patience? That's a contradiction of the Scriptures, brother. No. You know those guys that run? I've read some articles. Now, I'm not an endurance. I'm a sprinter. When I was in high school, I was a 100-yard dash guy, you know. Nobody in school could beat me at the 100-yard dash. And then I was usually like one of the short legs on a relay team. But for me to run, I went out for cross country 1 year. That's all that. Them guys are nuts. And these people that run these marathons and stuff, wow. I'd be one of those people running around with the thing on my windshield on the back window that said 0.0K. You know, that'd be my... But you know what? Those guys that learn how to run those endurance races, they break it down into short segments. And you can actually rest. I've never figured this out personally. I'm telling you what these guys are, they're saying that you can learn to rest as you're running. Okay. I believe you. If you figured out how to do it, more power to you. That's why they run. That's why they win marathons, right? Because they figured out how to rest while they're running like crazy. I don't know. But you and I, we need to be able to learn from that and realize that, hey, for one thing, if you try and do it all in your own strength, you're going to wear out. You're not going to make it. But when you run with patience and God, what's God's, that's another name for God, patience. Remember I said this morning one of the names for God is jealous. Another one of his names is patience. So when you start getting, oh man, you start getting winded, you're running out of steam, you say, "Lord, help me." And the Lord says, "Okay, come on." And he'll help you keep it going. You got to be prepared for that. You got to endure. He says, like that verse we read back there in 2 Timothy, he said, endure hardness as a good soul. So it's not easy. Amen. It's not easy, but it is a lot easier if you prepare for it. And as a Christian, I mean, I think that's why we're losing a lot of young Christians today, because they've been lied to and told by some big teeth, you know, smiley mouth preacher that just gets saved and you'll have your best life now and everything will be hunky-dory and rah-rah, cheer-cheer. And so they're saved, you know, they get saved and 6 months later their world falls apart. And they say, well, the preacher never told me it was going to be like this. That's because he lied to you. You want trouble? You want problems? Get saved. Right? That's the truth. It's a warp. Well, get saved, and then it's just romper room after that. No, the Bible says it's a warfare.
Amen.
It's a warfare. We need to stop. We need to tell people the truth. I remember. Now, I don't recommend this. But I know a preacher that went into a youth conference, and he's got a whole room. I mean, there must have been 100 teenagers in that room at the start of this youth conference. And he's going to get there and preach to these kids for 5 days, you know. He gets up there the first night, and he's looking over the crowd. He's saying, well, I'm looking over this crowd here, and I can see that most of you won't mount to a hill of beans for the Lord. And he's probably, you know, I don't recommend that, but that's probably true. What he was trying to do was antagonize the ones who were going to do something for the Lord. Because you know how it is. Most teenagers, if you tell them not to do something, they're going to blow up and say, oh yeah? Just watch me. That's what he was trying to do. I guess, what do you call that, reverse psychology? I don't know. When it comes to teenagers, I don't know if there is a psychology that actually works. But my whole point is that you better prepare yourself at least for the truth that you have joined the Lord's army, and there is no discharge from this war. There is no discharge from this war. You're going to have to go through it. So you better prepare for it. And the way to prepare for it is by being patient. Now, I had, how many of you remember from your World War II history about the raiders, the German raiders that were on the oceans during World War II? What the Germans did, they'd outfit these merchant vessels with guns, but they would have these big doors that they could close them up so you couldn't see them. It looked just like a merchant vessel. And so what they would do is, they call them German raiders, and they would come up to a merchant ship, an Allied merchant ship, and they would just come up to it, oh, we're just another merchant ship like you are, you know. And they'd get up close to them, and they'd flop all these doors down and pull these guns out and order, they'd fire a shot across the bow and order the ship to heave to. They'd capture it. They'd capture the ship and all the materials, all the supplies, whatever they had on it. That's why they call them raiders. They were raiders. And if the ship, usually what they did, if it was a good ship, they would take it back to Germany and use it. If not, they would just sink it. So, one of the raiders, it was infamous. It was well known in history. If you ever read your history about that part of the war, it was operating in the Pacific, and it was called the Atlantis was the name of the ship. And the Admiral Jellicoe was the commander of that vessel. And you know how it is. If you prepare for battle and you get on whatever, if you're on a ship or whatever part of the warfare you're involved in, a soldier, he just wants to fight. Give me something to shoot at, right? Give me something to kill. That's a soldier mentality. All right, so these guys have been on this ship now. If you know, you imagine this is back in the days when radar was still very dicey. Didn't really work that well. There was no such thing as a satellite or GPS or none of that stuff, right? So basically, they're out in the Pacific. Now, how big is the Pacific? It's huge. All right, so they're out there just basically trying to run across a merchant ship. And the merchant ships are doing their best to avoid the raiders, right? So it's a cat and mouse game. And these guys have been out for months and had not seen a single thing but open water. Now, you can imagine. I mean, the admiral, he's probably doing a good job just to keep his soldiers disciplined and ready to fight after seeing months of nothing. All right? So here's what he said. After months of fruitless searching, here's what he told the men. He said, victory depends less upon the stimulant of success than the patient performance of one's duty by day and night in all weathers. Did you catch that? Victory depends less upon the stimulant of success than the patient performance of one's duty by day and night in all weathers. And he said, it is more difficult to endure patiently than to attack courageously. So when you think that this is fruitless, all this, what are we doing, right? Everybody comes to that point sometime in their Christian walk. Right. You reach that point and you look at God and say, God, what am I doing? This is fruitless. And he says, endure. Amen. Endure patiently. Do what you're told. Right? That's what they tell you in the army. You don't get to ask questions. You know, when the commander says do something, you don't get to say, are you kidding me? There ain't no use in doing that. Yeah, that's a good way to end up in the brig. Do what you're told, right? We were down helping put up a building in southern Arkansas. I mean, it's right on the Arkansas-Louisiana line. This is August, okay? The second week of August. And we're putting on a red metal roof. I never sweat so much in my life. And we had these black fellows that were helping us. It was a black church. And one of the guys, this guy was a monster. And his name, I don't know what any of these guys' real names were. I never heard them because they all call each other by nicknames. So this guy, his name was Bo. And they called him Bo Peep. And the first thing he'd do when he got there, he'd take off the shirt, you know, and he's all bare-chested. And I looked at him one day, I says, Bo, you may be Bo Peep, but you ain't little. And he just laughed because he, you know, he's one of them guys. I'm just a little guy, and I'd shake his hand, and my hand just kind of disappeared, you know, when I shook his hand. So anyway, he was a good worker. He'd get in there, and he'd go at it, man. And we had these two other fellas that were not so energetic. You know, they kind of had to be told what to do every minute. And so one day, Bo got up. He'd had enough. And he went over there, and he got in her face. And he didn't know what to say. You know, he didn't want to. You got to be careful, right? It's volunteer help anyway. And so he got up, and he says, hey. And they looked at him, and they're like, what? And he says, do what you do. That's all he said. He said, do what you do. And he turned around and walked off. What do you think? Well, that's kind of silly. Well, that's what the Lord wants us to do. He told you to do something. Now do it. Stop looking, you know. Most people, they look for work. They lose their job or whatever, you know, and so they start looking for work, and as soon as they find a job, they quit. They don't work anymore after that. They just don't want a job. And human nature, well, what we want to do is when we're given a task, we want to figure out how to make it easier or get out of it or have somebody else do it or, you know. So you better prepare for a long war and realize that you're in a battle, you're in a war, and you're supposed to endure with patience. You're supposed to run with patience. And God is patience. And so, boy, you just got to prepare. My, you got to be mentally prepared. And if you'll prepare mentally for the long war, it won't seem like such a hard thing. You'll one day you'll wake up and you'll say, man, it's already February 4th. Man, the new year's already, 1 month's already gone out of the new year. if you'll prepare yourself, it'll go by. It won't seem like a long drudgery. All right. The next thing, real quick. Back there in Joshua, chapter 11. Joshua chapter 11. Look at the very first, the very next verse. After Joshua made war a long time with all those kings, verse 19, it says, there was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel, save the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. All other they took in battle. All other they took in battle. Now, what was the deal with the Hivites? Anybody remember what happened with the Hivites? Yeah, they tricked them. When they came into the land, remember, they disguised themselves, made their clothes look like they'd been journeying for days and days, and old moldy bread they put in their sacks, and they made it look like they'd been traveling and traveling for months to get to where Joshua and Moses and all them were. Hey, what happened? They got tricked. And so now the Hivites were a thorn in their side because they made an agreement. They made a covenant with them that they wouldn't hurt them because they were so far away, and then come to find out they were right over the next mountain. Sorry, dogs. Yep. But what are you going to do? You've already made a promise. You've already covenanted with them.
Exactly.
So you know what Joshua did? Or at least what I hope he did. What you and I need to do is you need to learn. You need to purpose to learn from your past mistakes. You need to purpose to learn from your past mistakes and don't repeat them. Don't repeat them, because all the other, the Hivites were the only ones that they didn't end up taking in battle, right? That's what it says there, verse 19. All other they took in battle, save the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. And you know what? That caused a lot of problems. But the main thing you need to learn from this is to purpose to learn from your own mistakes and don't repeat them. Our middle daughter, she's kind of a perfectionist. And when she was being homeschooled, she got to the point where she wouldn't take a test unless she was certain that she wouldn't miss any questions. And Mom said, okay, it's time to take your test. But I'm not ready. And she would refuse. Finally, I had to sit her down and I had to talk to her. I said, look, Abigail. I said, look, there's nothing wrong with making mistakes. All right? That's how you learn. You just need to learn from your mistakes so you don't repeat them over and over and over again, the same mistake over and over again. That's like how I like to tell my boss, you know, hey, I made a mistake. I go to him, I say, I made a mistake. And we can laugh about it now, but I told him, I said, hey, you show me somebody that's not making any mistakes, and I'll show you somebody that's not doing anything. Yeah, make it look good, you know, right? Yeah, yeah, sure. But it's okay to make mistakes. Just don't keep making the same one over and over and over again. It's obvious the world's going to keep on repeating the same mistakes over and over and again. You know the old saying about the only thing that men learn from history is that men never learn anything from history. Right. And if you don't know history, you're bound to repeat the same mistakes that they made in the past. Yep. And we're seeing that come to fruition over and over again. Look over here in chapter 10 of Joshua. Chapter 10. And look down at verse 1 there. Now it came to pass when Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. Wherefore, Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoham, king of Hebron, and unto Piram, king of Jarmuth, and unto Japheth, king of Lachish, and unto Debir, king of Eglon, saying, Come up unto me and help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. So the world will keep going. They'll see people fighting against the Lord and people fighting against the Lord's what he's going to do, and nobody's going to stop what the Lord wants to do. But the world just keeps trying. They keep trying. How long have they been trying to destroy this book? Amen. And they keep trying, and they keep trying, and they keep trying, but it's not going to work. They just keep repeating the same mistakes over. So it should not be a surprise to us who are prepared for the long warfare. We know what the enemy's modus operandi is. We know what they're going to try to do. They're coming after the Word. They're coming after the family. It's always the same. It's just different tactics, but it's always the same. And so we shouldn't be repeating them. We should be learning from Bible history. We should be learning from the mistakes that other people made. When I was, I'm a flight instructor. I have a flight instructor certificate, and I taught for 3 years. That's how I met my wife. She come down to take lessons. And so I used to tell my students, I had a subscription to this report that came out quarterly from the government. It reported on every kind of incident and accident that had taken place the prior quarter. And they used to give me a hard time. People give me a hard time about reading it. Said, oh, you're morbid, you know, or wanting to read about what happened to these people when they crashed their plane or ran off the runway or whatever. I said, no, stupid. You need to learn from somebody else's mistakes. You know, you can make mistakes and you can learn from your mistakes. That's why I'm sitting in the next seat here next to you. But there are some mistakes you only get to make once. And my wife will not allow that. So that's why I'm here. And if you begin to make a mistake, if you begin to go down that road to make one of those mistakes you only make one time, then I'm taking over. That's what the Lord does, if you'll let Him.
Amen.
So don't make the same mistake. Learn from, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It talks about, you know, how the Old Testament, all these things happened for our examples. That's why we're sitting here looking at Joshua today. All these things happened, were written for you and me so we could learn and not make the same mistakes. All right, so purpose to learn from your own mistakes and don't repeat them. Don't repeat them. The next one is back there in 11, chapter 11, down there in verse 20. It says, for it was of the Lord to harden their hearts that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might destroy them utterly, and that they might have no favor, but that he might destroy them, as the Lord commanded Moses. So you know what you need to do? Another lesson that we can learn here is you need to go ahead and plan right now for the opposition. You need to plan right now for the battle, because it's coming. It's of the Lord's design. How many people are going to get in the Lord's army and the Lord's just going to say, well, this unit over here, I'm not going to use them to fight. They can just rest on their laurels. No. If you're in the Lord's army and He's training you, you're going to fight.
Amen.
You are going to fight, whether you want to or not. The question is, are you planning for it? Are you preparing for it? You know what? One of the greatest things you can do is to keep track and keep a record of the times that God has delivered you in the past. God came through with you. He helped you here. He helped you there. Whatever the case may be. Human nature. Oh, I don't know what it is. I can remember things I did in high school, but I can't remember what I did 2 weeks ago. Okay? You need to write down and keep track, because We are so forgetful.
Amen.
And God can come through and deliver us from some great problem, some great circumstance, you know, and we're all cheering glory to God and giving testimony in the church about God came through for us. And then 2 weeks later, something comes along and we're like, God, where are you? You never helped me. You know, you never there when I need you. You know, we forget.
Amen.
We forget. So you need to remember and plan. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. It said the Lord hardened their hearts that they should come against Israel in battle. How dare he? That's the way we... Lord, what are you doing? Okay, so 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. What does Paul say to Timothy? Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Are you ready to be afflicted? You've got a plan for it. You got to be ready for it. You think you're gonna fight and not have any opposition? You think you're gonna be? Why does God have an army? Why does God need soldiers? Must be some opposition there somewhere, right? You need to plan for it. It's coming. Look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Well, you want to keep this church open? You want to have a pastor for your church? You better plan for some opposition. You got a big bullseye on the roof of this church. And the devil's saying, oh yeah, I got him right where I want him. That's why I pray, man. You better be praying like you never prayed before.
Amen.
1 John chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. But all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Most of your opposition is going to come from those three places.
Amen.
The world, the flesh, and the devil, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Your biggest opposition is going to come from yourself. And as soon as you realize how worthless you are as a human being to God, and you're not God's gift to Ashland or wherever, you know, what part of the community you live in, and you realize that you're nothing but a worm, and that God uses worms, praise the Lord, because I am too, you know, I am one too, how that goes. And the sooner you can use that, understand that, the better off you'll be. I think it was, who was that old missionary, old preacher? Oh, man, I'm terrible with names. I want to say it was Whitfield, but I don't think it was Whitfield. But anyway, he's one of them old fellas. They said, God made the whole world and the whole universe out of nothing. Right? Who? Martin Luther. That's who it was. Martin Luther. He said, God made the whole world and the whole universe out of nothing. He says, the sooner you become nothing, the sooner he can make something out of you.
Amen.
And that's part of the problem. You know, a lot of us, we have a high opinion of ourselves, a little too high most of the time. And so a lot of the opposition comes from within. This old wicked flesh that's always trying to get you off track. So plan for it. Be ready for it. And then the last one, let me finish up here, back here in Joshua chapter 11. The last one, I had to get to this one because, you know, wow, that's a real positive message, brother. So, I got to leave you with some good news here. Verse 23, so Joshua took the whole land, according to all that the Lord said unto Moses. And Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war. This is not the rest. This time is not the rest, but it's coming. It's coming. And the rest is so much sweeter for those who've been in the fight.
Amen.
If you've been sitting on your laurels in the rear area not doing anything, what's a rest? I mean, big deal, right? But you've been out on the front line with the bullets zinging over your head and the shells exploding all around you, and they say, hey, we're taking you off the line for a few days. Yeah. That's some good news, ain't it?
Yep.
That's some good news. And there is a rest coming. It's just not now. It's just not yet. But the rest is coming. Look at Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, look at verse 10. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Now, you need to endure to the end, not to be saved. There are people who believe you got to endure to the end to be saved.
Yeah.
No, you need to endure to the end so that you can appreciate and have a glorious place, the rest, the glorious rest. My uncle, he had a heart attack, and he was in a bad way. They didn't think he was going to make it. Well, finally, he recovered enough that they at least were able to send him home, and my aunt took care of him. Well, he didn't. He was only home for maybe 6 months, and he started kind of going on the wane again, and my aunt, she's a dear lady. She went on to be with the Lord last year. She goes in there to the room, and my uncle's laying there, and he looks at her and he says, I'm ready to go home. And she says, well, where do you think home is? And he says, heaven. And she says, yes, well, what do you think it's like? And he looked at her and he says, it's glorious. And that was the last words he said. And you know what? I'm looking forward to that rest.
Amen.
But not until the Lord says, okay.
Amen.
I'm taking you off the line now.
Yeah.
But don't you dare try to desert.
Amen.
Don't you dare try to go AWOL. You got to stay in there. You got to get paired up with somebody that you can fight with. You got to prepare for the long war. Learn from your mistakes. Plan for the opposite. It's all coming.
Amen.
It's all coming. Get ready for it. Prepare for it. And be ready to fight. Don't give up. Don't quit. I heard a preacher say, I found the cure for sin. Everybody's looking at him like, what? He says, yeah, it's a .44 Magnum right upside the head, you know. He was joking. He said, but you know what would be my luck? I'd kill myself, and then I'd be on my way through the atmosphere, through the universe, on my way shooting towards heaven, and I'd meet the Lord about halfway. I'd say, Lord, where are you going? He says, I'm coming back. He's, oh, man, if I'd have just waited another hour, right? Don't quit. Don't give up. I like them old westerns, you know, and the pioneers are going across the prairie with their covered wagons, and the Indians show up on the ridge, and they circle the wagons, you know, and they start circling the wagons, and they get all the guns out, and they're firing away, you know, trying to protect the women and the children, and the Indians are circling around them, and the battle rages, and it's going on, and people are falling here and there, and you know, the ammunition's running low, Indians are getting closer and closer, and it looks like all is lost. And all of a sudden you hear, the cavalry. You know where our deliverance is coming from, don't you?
Amen.
Calvary. I'm waiting for the Calvary, right? But until then, hey, you better keep them gospel six shooters. When the Lord comes back, they ought to be smoking. Right?
Amen.
Fire until the last. That's the way I want to go. We got a lot of good beginners. A lot of people start things nowadays. They start this, they start that, but very few people finish what they start.
Amen.
And that's why I want to be a good finisher. Lord, help me to finish. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Father, we thank you. We thank you for just allowing us to be a part of what you're doing. And Lord, I do pray for these dear folks here, Lord, that you would bless them. And bless them with the right pastor, not a pastor. Lord, bless them with one that'll keep things going, and one that will have a heart for the folks here, Lord, whoever it may be. Lord, you know me. I want to do what you want to do. I don't want to be anywhere you don't want me to be. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would intervene and make it clear to all involved. And ultimate, Lord, that you'd help us to continue to fight wherever we are. And be ready for the opposition, and be ready to always have an answer of the hope that lies within us. Lord, help us to be faithful what you've called us to do in these last days. And most of all, Lord, I pray even so, come quickly. Lord, we're looking for you every day. And I pray that this would be the year. I pray that you'd come this year and take us away. And what a glory that'll be. Until then, Lord, please, I do pray that you'd help us to be faithful and to not give up, to keep declaring the gospel, keep passing out tracts, keep knocking on doors, keep doing the things you told us to do. And especially since you've given us a reprieve here and we still have the freedom and liberty to keep on doing. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to grant us the freedom and the liberty to preach the gospel out in the public until you return. That'd be a blessing. But either way, Lord, I just pray that you help us. Give us the strength, the boldness, the courage that we need. And we'll be sure and give you all the glory and the thanks and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.